All right, 99.5 KKLA-FM Los Angeles, the intersection of faith and reason here at the Frank Pastore Show. I know, thriller, and I'm thinking, yeah, maybe we ought to teach on some demonology and angelology in the fall and all that kind of stuff sometime, too. We ought to do that. What I've chosen to do is, and I apologize, those of you, well, not really. I don't apologize. I'm not doing news right now. And yeah, I know Obama's going to the Middle East, big speech tomorrow in Cairo to the Muslim world and all that. And that's what 24/7 is on the news right now. And yeah, I know Osama bin Laden's got a new tape out basically threatening the United States and including Obama for the recent actions in the SWAT Valley in Afghanistan outside of Pakistan. And all. But you know what? You guys can get that somewhere else. What I want to do is talk about, to me, the most important thing, which is Christianity, the Bible, who the Lord is, what the gospel is. And a lot of this, and again, do not think I came up with any of this on my own. I give all of the credit to Dallas Willard and ultimately to the Lord for all this because it's in Scripture. So Dallas Willard has written about 10 years ago now, 11 years ago, 1998, the most significant book that had the greatest impact on my spiritual life called The Divine Conspiracy. And what's mind-blowing is that there are tapes that Dallas has available for free on the net, which is unbelievable. But they're great stuff. Dallas Willard. Anyway, in laying this out, of course, the obvious restrictions in time with just 10-minute segments, you can't really get a developed, you know, teaching thing going on. But let me just suggest to you the following on what the gospel is. And looking at the Bible from the first gospel, which is Genesis 3:15, talking about how there is a coming seed of woman that will step on the head of the serpent, which is really foreshadowing the victory of good over evil. And, of course, that was manifested in the cross, in the crucifixion, with Jesus predicting his own resurrection. And so that's the first gospel. Jesus begins his public ministry with a line that he got from his first cousin, John the Baptist, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens," plural, "is at hand." And it's heavens, plural, because in the Jewish understanding, there were three levels of heaven, the first, second, and the third heaven. John refers to being taken up to the third heaven. All that simply means, it's not weird, all it simply means is that's how the Jews had used the language to describe what we call the sky or the air, space, and where God is. Three different terms. And so the third heaven is where God is, the second heaven is space, the first heaven is the sky or the air, where birds fly and planes fly. Jesus announced his ministry in Matthew 4:17. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And repent doesn't mean feel sorry about your sin. It's think differently about everything, because now the kingdom of heaven, the rule of the king in everything, is now present among men. It is at hand. That doesn't mean coming quickly. That means it's here now. Look, like I would say here in the studio, "Behold, my laptop is at hand." It's here now. It's not coming quickly or far away. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and quote, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues," teaching, "preaching the gospel of the kingdom," and three, "healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." Teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching in the synagogues to Jews, to put the dots together regarding all of the Old Testament prophecies. Preaching the good news of the kingdom that is now present. We call that the gospel. And then, of course, validating this by performing all kind of healings. Matthew verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 35. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." It had started in Galilee, and then, of course, it spread out. Now, what I'm doing is laying out the announcement of Jesus' public ministry, which you would think is very important because it's the first time you get a first impression of somebody. And remember, the gospel throughout most, the gospels, the Bible, throughout most of human history was read out loud to an illiterate people. Not until the Gutenberg Press and then today where we've got nine different versions of the Bible on our shelves. But most people would sit and hear the Bible read out loud, largely in oral culture. They had unbelievable powers of memorization and being able to capture the narrative of a story. And so how a character in a story read out loud was presented first time would be your initial impression. And so very important on how the character is introduced. In all four Gospels, Jesus' public ministry begins talking about the kingdom. In the Gospel of Mark, Mark now adds a new little nuanced, a little bit different than what Matthew had said. Remember, Matthew had said, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand." Mark lays this one out now. Quote, this is chapter 1, verse 14. "Now, after John had been taken into custody," John the Baptist, "Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying," okay, "the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." An important message. And again, this is not fire insurance. Now, when Mark adds the phrase, "the time is fulfilled," this is wonderfully rich. Have you ever thought about why the incarnation would occur when it did and where it did? And that's what Mark is tapping into. It's not merely the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. There's a lot more going on. Let me suggest the following to you. And again, this is mind-blowing if it's the first time you hear it. It just connects so many of the dots. It's one of those, oh, kind of moments. You know, the most common word in heaven, oh. And so the dots are these. At that time when the incarnation occurred in Jesus' public ministry for the 33 years, it was the first time ever in the history of humanity that you had international travel, a common economy. Rome ruled the Mediterranean, the known world at that time. Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, right? You had a stable economy that largely ran on olive oil, interestingly. And you had a language that was pretty universal. And, of course, that was Greek, not Latin. Interestingly, the Roman Empire spoke Greek largely. And because of the philosophical foundation of the, you know, the great Athenians and the Spartans and Platonic philosophy and Aristotle and all that stuff in the 5th century BC. But you had a common language, a common economy, and international travel, meaning you could get this message now out through the known Roman Empire. And the Lord totally did that. Just think of one example. When Paul was under house arrest, appealing to Caesar because the Jews wanted to kill him, remember? And Paul said, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't do that unless Caesar okays it. And so he goes to Rome, right? So when he's under house arrest, who's guarding him? The Praetorian Guard. Who are these people? These are the special forces troops drawn from the entire Roman Empire that had a short-term tour. I think it was 3 years in the Praetorian Guard. And then you went back to your homeland as an honored, decorated soldier all over the Roman Empire. So here are these guys from the entire Roman Empire stuck with Paul under house arrest. Paul's evangelizing their socks off. They get it, and they go back throughout the entire known world. So the when of when this occurred is interesting, but also the location is fascinating. Where else would you, quote, start a movement other than the nexus of Europe, Asia, and Africa? The primary trade routes had to go through that part of the world. If you wanted to bring spices or you wanted to bring a natural resources of some kind or linens from Africa into Europe or Eurasia, you largely went through those trade routes. And so it's the ideal place to start a movement. And so as Mark says, the time was fulfilled and the gospel now is going to go out and be preached. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, same kind of thing. Jesus says, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So there's a lot of emphasis on what the kingdom of God is all about. And when we come back, I'm going to lay out, okay, see, it's weird to talk about a kingdom nowadays. I mean, you think about a fat guy on a throne. That's not a kingdom. When you tap into how the original audience would have heard this teaching, then you can make a lot more sense out of, quote, "the kingdom of God is at hand," or "the kingdom of the heavens is at hand." And we'll do that straight ahead as we continue here at the intersection of faith and reason on the Frank Pastore Show. Yeah, I got to do that too. I got to do the intersection of faith and reason. I'm going to write that down. We'll get into that straight ahead here at 99.5 KKLA. The intersection of faith and reason here at the Frank Pastore Show. I'm not doing news right now. We're going to get into that later, but I'm talking about what to me is the most important thing I can ever talk about. and that is what the gospel is, who Jesus is, what the kingdom is, and why it is immediately available, and all you have to do is turn into it. You don't have to be religious. And it's not about, quote, being a Christian. I mean, it is and it isn't. But so many people reduce that term now to, quote, just getting saved, you know, like the bumper sticker. I'm not forgiven, or I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven. It's like, oh, dude, I wish you're a lot more than just forgiven. It's like confusing the wedding for the marriage. One is an event. It's how you get saved. But that's not the point. The point, that's the entrance requirement. That's how you get in. But that's not life in the kingdom with the king. Jesus focused his ministry when he began with the words from his first cousin, John the Baptist, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens," plural, "is at hand." Mark picked it up. The time was fulfilled. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You can find the same teaching in Luke and John. In John, of course, we're all familiar with the story of Nicodemus, you know, the Pharisee or the, you know, the seminary professor at the big university downtown kind of thing, by night coming to sneak over to Jesus, you know, and that whole dynamic, and Jesus telling him, you know what, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus had similar kind of instructions for people regarding the availability of the kingdom of God. Jesus in Luke is talking about, I need to preach the kingdom of God, not only in Galilee, but the other cities as well. Paul says in the book of Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are also in Rome," verse 15. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Acts 1, this is how Dr. Luke records it, because, of course, Luke Acts was one text throughout much of early church history. This is verse 3 of Acts 1. "To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of what?" What was Jesus talking about after his resurrection in his glorified body? What was it that Dr. Luke records that Jesus was doing after the resurrection? He was, for a period of 40 days, speaking of the things concerning what? The kingdom of God. So what is a kingdom? A kingdom is where the king has say. And the kingdom of the heavens is now present. And Jesus would validate that by performing miracles and changing lives. That kingdom, folks, is still available to you today. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to go cut up any animals or crawl around on your knees. It's not proving how good you are in order to get in. It's the other way. You actually acknowledge, okay, look, I've screwed up my life. I have been in charge, and I'm going in this direction. I can't make sense out of it. And, Lord, if you're there, and if what Frank is talking about, this kingdom of the heavens that's out there, plug me into this. And I've told this story several times on the air. I embraced the Christian worldview before I embraced Christ, because I was a sold-out secular atheist, and it didn't make sense to me. Life has no meaning or purpose. Your relatives are ferns, frogs, and slime. There's no life after death. Good will never triumph over evil. I mean, all that stuff. And then I heard the gospel, and I heard about this project of how a holy God was redeeming a fallen humanity. And I asked all those tough questions, and you know what? It made sense. And, quote, I became a Christian. So what is my bottom line? My bottom line is, you know what? If you are bored in your Christian life, it might be that you have plugged into the wrong thing. How is it possibly boring to plug in to work with a living God against evil in all of its forms, and to love the world in such a way that we model God's love for us? Jesus didn't die for the church. He died for the world. And we do the right thing for our neighbors as ourselves. We do the right thing for people in foreign lands that we'll never meet. We do the right thing for our kids and our neighbors next door and the guy down the street. We do the right thing for the guy on the off-ramp or those people pushing the shopping cart out in front of the donut shop. We do the right thing because God loves them, and we are his hands and his eyes and his feet. And God empowers us to love on them. And hopefully in response, they will say, why are you doing this? And then you'll have the opportunity to say, listen to the God that I serve, and you lay it out. Folks, that gets me up in the morning. And what a privilege it is to work with him in this great project. And wherever, and please don't think that you got to go get in ministry to do that. Right where you're at, you are in the perfect position to serve the living God in the divine conspiracy wherever you're at. You just simply begin, and then he will guide you in that. We'll continue straight ahead here at the intersection of faith and reason on the Frank Pastore Show at 99.5 KKLA.